there. This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the OMP community. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Jeff Newell, your host of this episode. We have a fantastic show for you today. We have a patient advocate, Jeffrey Morfu, joining us to discuss his recovery from a life-changing workplace accident. Jeff had been a quality control supervisor for a concrete culvert manufacturer in Ontario since 2010, when a workplace accident in 2017 led to his right arm needing to be amputated from his shoulder down, as well as a concussion. Thanks, Jeff, for coming on today.
No problem.
I've known Jeff for, probably over 3.5 years now.
Yeah, anyways, like 4 years, I think. 4 years, it'll be in October.
I always get confused because we have to throw COVID into there. But I've been working with Jeff, as Jeff said, close to 4 years with Hamilton P&O on his prosthetic device. So let's start with how this happened.
Well, I went to work on August 2nd, and we were building a culvert piece, so a bridge piece for the Ministry of Transportation. And when they build those bridge pieces, there's an identification plate in the bottom so that the ministry knows what culvert it is, so when it was built and everything to do with it, right? Mm-hmm. So they built it the night before it came out, and I'm the head of quality control, so I got to inspect the thing to make sure if there's any repairs, anything needs to be done. So my friend lifted up the piece up in the air, and I looked underneath, and I saw the black identification plate, rubber plate, still in there. So what we usually did was you just stick your arm underneath, pry it out, and it would pop out, and the crane would pull away, and then you'd just pick up the plate, and away you'd go. So that day, I stuck my arm underneath to do the exact same thing, but the crane failed that day. So it all came crashing down on me, and I was stuck under there for 45 minutes awake until me and like three other people could figure out how to get it off of me. And then they rushed me to the hospital and amputated my arm.
This must have been really traumatizing for you, but also for your family.
Oh yeah, very traumatizing for my family. Very traumatizing. There's been some issues going on, but we're trying as a family to work through them. So
from what is understood by reporting the same thing that took your arm also saved your life at the same time, from what
yes, I heard. The surgeon said that if it would have went either a half an inch one way or a half an inch another way, I would have died because the sheer weight of the thing, it was like 135,000 pound piece of concrete, and the way it counterlevered, it like all the weight came down onto a point, which was my arm, and it sealed off the main arteries coming out, like folded them over like a Ziploc bag, they said, is the way they explained it to me, and sealed them off so that I barely bled out.
Oh, so, you know, you can kind of look at that as a motivating factor.
Yeah.
That, you know, I know it's a tragedy that you've lost your arm, but you didn't lose your life.
No, exactly. I looked at that like, okay, I am here for a reason. So yeah, that's what's made me keep going, I guess you could say, and not sit back and wallow and say, I feel sorry for myself and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At first it was like that. And then, yeah, the more time went on and people said, oh, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'll show you, I can do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, they don't know you.
No, they don't know me. They don't know me.
I'll tell you, from day one of meeting you, I've been more than impressed.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I've worked hard to get where I am. So,
And I know you're going to keep going for sure.
Oh yeah, I'm going to keep going. I want to advocate for people and like stuff like that. Because like a lot of users don't use their prosthetic because they don't think it works properly and this and that. And like, all you got to do is put in the time and effort and it'll work for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You got to put in the effort. It's a complete new learning curve for the patient. But as I've seen firsthand with you, once you get past the few couple of hurdles, you're really moving forward.
Yeah. And especially with the new technologies that are out there, it makes it so much easier for the user. It's not like the old style where the user would have to learn how to use the arm learns how to use the user.
Exactly. How long do you take for your rehab physically to point of being mobile again? How long do you think it took you to say, okay, now I'm going to wear my prosthesis, or now I'm going to get to the point of even getting a prosthesis?
August, September, October. So like 2.5 months, I came to the point where I was like, okay, I want a prosthetic. I want something. And then, I went talked to WSIB because I'm funded through WSIB. Mm-hmm. And I talked to them and they said, okay. So they sent me to the amputee clinic at St. Joe's in London here at Parkwood. And at first everyone was like, no, you'll just have like a dummy. And then I was like, no, that's not an option. I said, I want something.
Wrong thing to say to Jeff.
Yeah, wrong thing to say to me. I was like, no, I want something that works and this and that. So they eventually, through a lot of arguing and stuff with the doctors, they said, okay, we'll do this for you. And then I proved them all wrong by like making it work, making everything work perfectly. And like, they couldn't believe it and this and that. And so then I started researching like other technologies that were out there, and then went to doctors and started asking them about those technologies. They had no clue what I was talking about at first, but they did their research. And then over time, I ended up having state-of-the-art surgery done, targeted muscle nerve reinnervation. So which made it easier for me to use the prosthetic. And
As I mentioned earlier, you're working with Hamilton Pino with Shirley and Joe.
Yes. They were huge advocates for me at first. Huge advocates.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones that were like, okay, here, we're not like, they proved to the doctors that I could make things work electronically, like through myoelectricity. Mm-hmm. Because the doctors didn't think I could do it at first, but they were like the backbone behind everything. They like believed in me and like everything like that. And they pushed it, helped push it all forward. Like, I'm in debt to the Hamilton prosthetics.
So once the process started, what are your thoughts from there?
My first appointment that I ever had, I was like so discouraged afterwards and so distraught and like upset, because they just told me that there was no options for me, right? I'm like, that's crap. What do you mean there's no options for me? There's options, you know what I mean? Like, so then I went back and started like, it's the whole process, it's been a lot of waiting, I guess you could say, just because of like if I just wanted to go with like a normal two site system, it was quick and easy and I was done and out in like a month and a half or something like that. It was really quick when I had that. But because of all the new technologies that I have, it's been taking longer. But I know once everything gets up and running and working properly, it'll be seamless. Like, it's totally going to help me. So
did you have any misconception at the beginning?
At first, yes, because I saw stuff like from DARPA, I guess you could say, like things like research things, right? And I'd be like, mm-hmm. Hey, I can do that. I can get that. You know what I mean? And then I find out, no, you can't. So it made me a little bit discouraged, right? But that was about the only thing that I was discouraged about. I just kept pushing forward. That's all I could keep doing.
What has been the most interesting thing about your journey after being fitted for your device?
The whole process, I guess. Like, when I went to them and asked for the targeted muscle reinnervation, that was the most interesting part, because I did my own research on that before I went and talked to the doctors. So I knew what I was talking about when I talked to the doctors, mm-hmm. knew what it involved, knew the risks, knew the benefits. So that was the most interesting part. It's pretty cool, because I have a very good relationship with my doctors. So we all converse and brainstorm, and like, it's not like a usual, the doctor tells you this, right? It's like we all brainstorm together to try to figure out the best option.
I know you're quite a researcher after getting to know you.
Yeah.
Because when we've talked, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What would you like to see in the future for new devices?
A powered shoulder. Mm-hmm. A powered shoulder and humerus. So where you got abduction on the shoulder, on the humerus part, so you can rotate your elbow in and out and your shoulder up and down.
Okay.
Like, if you could myoelectrically move your shoulder up and then move your elbow, and then it'd be more ergonomically, instead of like, well, with me, I have an electronic lock, right? So I nudge that switch, move it forward, lock it in place, and then I can do my whatever I wanted to do by moving my shoulder, right? But
right.
That's what I would like to see. Maybe more sensory aspects. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Through hands, arms, up to your chest, so that you could get that sensory aspect of things, hot, cold, maybe something like that. I know it's possible, but.
And if anybody will be able to handle it, it'll be you for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I'd be able to do it.
Yeah. So you're fitted with state-of-the-art devices right now. You have an Aspire Albo, Covi, yep. Nexus Hand, pattern recognition from CoAP.
Yep.
How has this device differed from previous ones that you've had?
Like I said before, instead of me having a two site system where I would have to learn, lock it out, switch modes, go to a different mode, it's not like that. This is all seamless. Basically, I come up with the movements. So instead of me having to do a movement for the device to move, the device learns the movements from me. So the more calibrations I put into the device, the more it works better. So yeah, like right now I don't even know how many calibrations I got, but I've got like 4 grip patterns down proper, just with different movements of each finger.
Right. So from using the CoAP system, pattern yep. recognition system, you've really found a big difference in operating your device.
Huge, huge. Like before, I was quicker than the device. I would want the device. I would want the device to go quicker than what I could make it go. Then it would let it go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's when they came out with the CoAP. They brought me the CoAP, and then the CoAP was a little rough at first, but then we did the surgery, and then after the surgery and the CoAP, it's like night and day. night and day.
So do you, with your system that you have now, do you see there's any drawbacks that are slowing you down from moving forward?
No, not really. No, just maybe like the toughness of gloves. That's my biggest thing is gloves.
Sure. And that's always going to
be. That's always going to be a thing, right? So
yeah, it's always going to be a thing.
Yeah. But that's my biggest thing was the gloves. That's it. Everything else is perfect. The fitting's perfect. The way it sits on my body is perfect. Once I get out of this hard socket into a nice definitive socket, it'll be way better.
And I know Joe's working on it as we speak.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to relay to the P&O community that would help treating other upper extremity amputees?
Never give up. Always advocate for yourself and always fight for yourself. Because if you don't, nobody will listen. Always advocate for yourself. Always look for new technologies. Always, like, even if it's you're not funded, try to get the most advanced technology that they'll let you get, because it'll help you in the long run.
Okay, good advice. And with that, thank you very much for listening to this episode. I'd like to thank Jeff for stopping by to talk with us. Of course, if you have a show or topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@ortoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcast. Positive Outcomes is a production of Ortoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and hosted by myself, Jeff Newell, and Simon Beals. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.